Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
All right. I have some announcements here.
All right. You know, you sound a little echo chamberish to me. I don't know if, of course, if anybody else hears it that way, but kind of a feel to it.
How about now? Does it still sound like an echo chamber?
No, you sound much, much more straightforward. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Announcements.
Announcements. The 2026 year-long retreat, Insighting, is almost here. As a Sangha, we will follow in the footsteps of monks of old, devoting ourselves to koan practice, an ancient way of assisting practitioners to awaken to a direct experience of intelligence. Using the stories in Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, participants will practice looking to the moment for what is arising in awareness as insight. The retreat begins March 14th. Payment may be made in quarterly installments.
Talk about coming right up, huh?
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
Around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And yes, I'm quite excited about this one. One thing that I would tell people, because the guest master has received a number of questions about which version of the book we're going to use, and we always encourage people not to buy the book. You really won't need it. we'll give you in the assignments everything that you need. And
great.
And then afterwards, I mean, if you want to write the book, I mean, certainly buy the book if you want to, but it's not necessary, and I would say it's not even particularly helpful in participating in the retreat.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just imagining reading and then noodling with conditioned mind about what it all means.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. It's going to be much, much, much more fun than that.
Yeah, I'm sure it usually is. Always
mm-hmm.
is.
Always is, yeah.
Yes. Reflective Listening Buddies offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. The new quarter's popular program begins April 15th.
We have a lot going on.
And do you find...
Well, I was just going to say, I think, is it next? I don't know. Anyway, we have another Beginner's Mind workshop coming up.
Yeah, anyway. I want to say it's Sunday, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, yeah. I'll find out, okay? In case anybody else is doing it, I'll find out so that I can be there.
good
idea. Okay.
Let's see. Did I mention Reflective Listening Buddies, or are we on to the next one?
We're on to the next one.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? Our Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also starting April 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support. And our Farm Stewardship Program is extending an invitation to farmhands from Sangha who wish to learn the practices of regenerative farming. This popular program offers an opportunity to reconnect with the miracles of nature, get your hands dirty, and provide assistance with the many tasks of farming at a Longview farm.
I just got to help build a giant compost pile.
Wow.
On a Longview farm. Yes. And I actually took a picture of it because when all of the vegetables and all of that sort of thing go in, for a brief period of time, it's really quite beautiful. It looks like it's sort of like a food art project.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I got one for the next blog in case anybody wonders or thinks a compost pile might be kind of gross or something like that. Don't get me wrong, they can be. But They have their moments of great beauty.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a 5-minute conversation on one topic is great. All right, here we go, Sherry.
All right, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Sean from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm meh. I'm pretty meh. A little bit of content?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Thank you. Since we last spoke, I had a setback with my recovery from my surgery. The pain came back. So that was very demoralizing. It's abating now, but I have to go for another MRI. I went to see the surgeon. He's like, oh, I don't know. Might be something different. Might be, you know, whatever. Because part of my recovery was to do a lot of walking. So I have tendonitis in my Achilles, so I can't walk hardly at all. And
oh, my God.
My dad has, who's been very unwell, as you've heard me talk about, has elected to proceed with medically aided dying. So, So I'm supporting him through that because my mother is not in favor.
Wow.
I am just very like, and then I'm coming off these pain meds, and I think they make me like kind of anxious and kind of just, I don't know. I just feel like I'm, you know, sitting most days and trying to be present, but it's just, I'm really overwhelmed by the voices and anxiety and just feeling a bit like, huh, come on, life. Like, really? One more thing? Like, I'm worn out. And, and that's all. So I think a little guidance, maybe a little pep talk, if that's appropriate.
Well, Sean, I would say Ness didn't quite capture it.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say? You know, I thought my first thought was, really? Because he just had that surgery, and you'd think he'd just be, you know, jumping up and down for joy here.
I was.
Yeah.
I was for weeks, Last time we
spoke.
So
how many weeks?
I was for 5 weeks. I was in
five weeks.
Happy place. So it's coming back. I am hopeful it's just was a really bad blip in the process and the recovery. But, I'm feeling just
kind of beat up.
I'm feeling very beat up, and I'm, and sort of the usual things I do, I guess, in practice and in my life are, I don't know, I hesitate to say not working, but,
not working. I mean, who knows how bad it could be, if you weren't practicing and trying to be there for yourself as much as possible. But it's true. It's miserable. Right?
Yeah.
It's awful. I mean, it would be miserable if the back pain came back. That is so incredibly disappointing. And we're all very hopeful that, as you say, it's a blip and it's going to get sorted out and you're going to go right back on that healing trajectory. But then there's your feet.
Yeah.
Which it just could feel cruel.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, unfair. And then.
And we often talk when I'm walking. So, yes, that has been like, they're like, you can walk for 30 minutes every third day. That's until this heals. Like, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, if that's not enough, your dad has decided, has made this decision for himself,
mm-hmm.
which is difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And then your mom is not supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that adds another whole level of complexity and difficulty and probably really hard to navigate when a person is kind of as close to 100% as they get. But when they're feeling pretty depleted, just in their own sphere, to have other people with such big life issues. And that you're not able to extricate yourself from, or you're not able to say, okay, folks, well, you work this out because I got this other stuff going on, right?
Yeah.
You're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You're hobbling right into the middle of it, Sean.
See, already it feels good. I feel better talking to you. But depleted is that's a great word. That's a good word, yes.
Yeah, the reserves are getting used up in a hurry.
Yeah. So. Mm.
And I don't know, is it at all helpful just to really acknowledge it without any feeling like you should be another way or anything should be different, or I mean this is how it is and it's miserable and it is how it is.
I was considering that a little bit yesterday, and I was doing the guided meditation today from the beginner's mind, and both those things are very helpful. Just to just be, and also this is bad. It hasn't always been thus. It won't always be thus. And
you don't have to be a sport, you know. You don't have to be stiff upper lip, or I mean, you're Canadian for God's sake. You know, you could go halfway with that, but you know, right? You don't have to, you know, try to. I mean, you know, we still strive to be nice to people, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
not take it out on people. But within ourselves, to just acknowledge that this is, you know, this is not fun. I'm getting through this the best I can get through this, and of course, having things like practice, it does help because to the degree that we can redirect our attention, you know, it's not so much the redirecting the attention from the pain, although that's a good thing when that can happen. But mm-hmm. it's those voices in the head. If we can take them out of the picture, then now we're just down to what's actually going on. My family's in a struggle place. I'm in a struggle place. That's enough. I don't need that other stuff added to it.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, Sean, in that way. It's a good thing there's some distance between us because this is the kind of thing, you know, tempts people to slap me. But in that regard, this really is a great practice opportunity.
I know.
Because
even if we were sitting across from each other,
you wouldn't
4 acres, okay. I would not reach over and slap you. No.
Okay, good. Because, you know, if you can be with yourself through something like this, you can be with yourself through anything.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing for us to know. Because so many people live in fear of, but what if it gets really bad? But what if, and the voices are always right there to present some god-awful something that we're not going to be able to stand. And when we come through something like this, and we did stand it, and we were there for ourselves, it changes things for us.
Yeah.
We become trustworthy.
Ooh. What do you trust? You mean like I can trust myself?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have somebody who's always going to be in your corner no matter what.
Mm.
And that's something I think everybody, all of their lives, wishes for.
That comes back to compassion, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this is, oh, I'm so blessed to be unmuted tonight. Thank you.
Well,
gosh,
you are so very welcome. It is always a joy to talk with you.
Yes, so, we won't even talk about the Olympics.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry, Sean. I'm so sorry about us. I really am. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It is. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for unmuting me tonight. And
always a pleasure, Sean. Just
go
keep
happy.
Taking care of yourself. Go happy and stay in touch.
I will. Okay.
All right. Good.
Talk soon.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Sean. Wow, that's big.
It is. It really is. It's just, and we have so little training in that, you know, so little training in how to be with ourselves in great sympathy and loving kindness and compassion when things are so really hard for us. You know, we have all these things that we're supposed to be and supposed to do and supposed to feel, and they're all going to lead to us being told that we're not meeting the standard, and now we have to feel bad about that along with everything else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Practice through it is, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kathy in Fort Worth.
Well, hello, Kathy.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael. I wanted to call in. I'm in the beginner's retreat, and I've just started to listen to some archives of open air, and I was listening to I don't know, I've been listening to random ones, just pulling them out randomly, and I heard somebody on the Good News section talking about the book, What Universe Are You Creating?, and how she was working with the book, and I thought, I've never heard of that book. I didn't know that book existed, so I looked it up, decided to order it. It just came last week, and when it came, I opened it up. I started reading at the beginning and how to play the game, and I noticed there were three ways to play the game, and I thought, okay, today I'll play the second way, where you look in the appendix at the list of emotions and choose one. So I did that, and I pulled a card that said practice, and then I did one of the recording and listening things, and then I set the book aside and went on with my life. And then yesterday, I was having a really tough time and kind of beating myself up about it because...
Wait. Time out. I have to stop you. It's my job to stop you right there, right? And point out, you were not beating yourself up. You were being beaten up by voices in your head, right?
Okay, yes.
You mean voices in your head. Okay, you were not at fault. You were the recipient there, not the deliverer.
Thank you for that distinction. So the conditioned voices were beating me up and saying, there's nothing really wrong. Why do you feel so bad? And I was trying to think about how to move forward with my life because I was feeling kind of stuck. And I thought, oh, look, there's the What Universe Are You Creating book sitting right in front of me. I could pull that out, and I couldn't remember how to play the game, so I had to go back and look, and I said, I do want to play that second way again. I know that's the way I want it. So I read the instructions again. I go to the appendix, and I start reading through the list of emotions, and I got to the word flatlined, and I stopped immediately, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that is it, and I remember when I looked at the list last week, I saw flatlined, and I'm like, well, that's not what I'm feeling. I've never really thought of that as an emotion before, but that's not it. And yesterday I was like, that is it. That is totally it. So then I go through the questions, what does it feel like? And it was astounding to me to feel this because it was so clear to me. It felt like this thick metal plate directly underneath my throat that was horizontal in my body and just cutting off the bottom of my body from the top of my body. And when it said, can you make it bigger? When I tried to make it bigger, it was like it moved out to the sides, but it opened up the space in my body. And it felt like air and spirit could flow between my brain and my body again. So that was fascinating. And then it said, could you make it smaller? And then when I tried to push the two plates together, they met in the middle and then kind of went poof, like a magic trick. And this whole thing is so fascinating to me. So then I get to the last question that says, what is the opposite feeling? And out of in my head instantly popped the word exuberance. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating, because that's not a word I use in my life very often, but it came immediately. So then I'm like, okay, that was the last question, what's the next step? And the next step said, pick a card. And I said out loud, any card? There's a lot of cards. You know, I only picked the practice card, was the only one not in the deck, so there's 51 cards in the deck. So I pick up the deck and I just randomly choose one out and I flip it over. And I am not kidding, Sherry, it said exuberance.
Oh, I love it.
Are you serious?
It'll make a person religious, won't it?
Oh, my gosh. I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
Oh.
Half a percentage, like less than 0.5% chance that could have happened.
Yes, yes. And yet it did.
And yet it did.
Yeah. And so, Kathy, where does this leave you? I don't want an intellectual answer. I mean, just kind of how are you different? That's the question. Are you different as a result of this process?
Yes, because I've been listening to you say, just ask yourself, what now, life? Uh-huh. And it just makes that seem real. Like you really could just say, what now, life?
Yes.
And listen for the answer, and it will come.
Yes, it absolutely will. Were you raised Christian?
Catholic, yes.
Catholic? Okay. So yeah. You're very familiar with the ask and it shall be given.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And I make that point every chance I get, because that's something that everybody, at least in this country, knows. I mean, you just know it. It's just, I wasn't raised Christian and I know it, right?
Right.
Because it's just, and the reason, of course, is because it's so absolutely true. But when people consider it, that it's absolutely true, it's one of those, oh, wow, oh, huh, yeah. And yet, it is absolutely true.
I think the way I was taught it growing up is, ask and you will receive, but your prayers will not necessarily be answered in the way that you think they should be.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Ask and you'll receive. Now, what you'll receive, that's why the old joke, you know, be careful what you ask for.
Right.
Because the best thing for us is often not the thing that we believe is the best thing for us.
Right.
But it is the best thing for us. And it's moving into a place of realizing that and that place of curiosity and wonder. That this is what's going on. This is for me. How is that possible? And yet, we all know the experience of getting through something way to the other side of it, looking back and going, wow, that's amazing. I can see. I'm really changed as a result of that.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that comes up is it's always available. We just have to reach out for it.
That's exactly right. And pay attention. So
yeah.
You were paying really close attention through all of this, right? And and much of the time we're not. Of course,
right.
We're so distracted by so much stuff. And so that kind of, the still small voice speaks. We just cruise right past it, listening to, well, I need to this or I should that or what's the matter? Why do I feel so bad? Yeah, why do I feel so bad? Right, that's what our attention is on, instead of being in the moment where we're getting that kind of what now life answer.
Yeah, and being with what is also.
Yeah.
Because
now, I'll tell you something. Go ahead.
No, that's the emotion of flatlined made all the difference.
Yes, yes. And twice you had that experience, right, of, wow, I would have never thought that. Just previously, no, that, you know, that's not. And then this time it was startling, right? Oh, my God, that is it. That is,
it was.
That's the word. What? Yeah. And then the same way with the exuberance. That's not a word I use. That's not a regular part of my vocabulary. And yet it's there. It just appears for you.
Right.
And because you're paying such close attention, you see it and you recognize it for what it is. Right? Now, if we use the word miraculous, people might say, you know, well, yeah, it's a bit extreme, but it's not.
Right.
It's not. And so then when we hear people say, you know, miracles are happening all the time, we're just not paying attention to them. That's
mm-hmm.
what you're pointing at.
Right. And I believe that. I believe that.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you one other thing before I let you go. And that is that this whole next year-long retreat that we're going to be doing is on exactly the experience that you just described for us.
Mm-hmm.
That, right? That's what you were doing through that whole thing. It was just insight after insight after insight.
And I do think that the work that we've already done in the beginner's retreat is what led me to be at the point where I was open to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Practice and, works.
And then what happened right after that when I was like, what next? This is going to sound so trivial, but I had on my list to buy a new hairbrush because my hairbrush is falling apart. And I texted my hairstylist and said, where do I buy this brush? And she said, I can get one for you. I'm at the hair store right now. And she sends me a photograph.
Wow.
And she goes, which one do you want?
Wow.
So it was just the same thing happening again.
It just goes on and on, doesn't it? And your reaction to it is exactly it. We just laugh.
Yeah.
It's just so delightful. It's so joyful.
It's so exuberant.
So fun. It's so exuberant. Yes. All right.
I
Thank
feel
you
like
so
you
much.
Should say go exuberantly happy.
Yes. Yes. Let's
Thank
do
you.
That.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kathy, and that was a fun, exuberant conversation, Sherry.
Yes, exuberant. Yeah, we like that.
Yes, we do. And we're going to go to Good News Update, Sherry, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jeff, who is here to speak with us about his experience of practicing with the process of following the breadcrumbs. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Jen. Great to be here.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for being with us.
Oh,
so tell
yeah.
us about your journey to follow the breadcrumbs.
That's so great. It's really been fun in doing some recording and listening just in the last few days around this. And it seems like so long ago that on Saturday, it really seems like a long time ago, but on Saturday, there was a Reflective Listening Buddies support call. And so that's a call in which there's a facilitator, and then the rest of us can call in and if we choose to, unmute ourselves when a previous conversation is done and talk about our practice as it relates to reflective listening. And so that's where this started.
Okay.
And the call started, and the first caller was talking, and I got that sense. First I want to say, the practice of following the breadcrumbs, this is something that I hear the guide talking about, and it seems like, especially lately, I've heard that multiple times. She said it in a conversation that she and I had not too long ago, and I've heard it in other places. Anyway, so So back to the on Saturday, this reflective listening buddy support call, I just got that sense to speak, because there was something in what the first caller was talking about that brought up something for me. And immediately the voices came in. Well, it's the same thing you always talk about these calls, you know, and there was that feeling of not wanting to talk about it again. But I went with it, you know. So that was the first breadcrumb, you could say, is that I went with that. Go ahead.
Sorry, Jeff, don't forget where you're going. But it's so perfect, because it's that thing where often the first thing we're aware of is, no, you already said that, right? Or whatever, you talk about that all the time. There's that you voice, but then the first breadcrumb you realized was before that was the impetus to unmute yourself. And so to be able to catch that breadcrumb before the voice starts in. So, yes, please proceed.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And in fact, before and after, it just, you know, I had that feeling. I just had that feeling. And and then still there was, you know, that a little bit of the, you know, hesitation or whatever. But anyway, as soon as the first call conversation ended, I did unmute and then said my name. And then there was this conversation, as you know, because you were on the other end of that conversation. For me, every conversation I've had about that topic on those RLB support calls has been very, very helpful. And this one really was. It was a really, really helpful conversation. I saw so much in it, and the central part of it is wanting to get it right, as in this case, as the reflector, being on a call, being on calls where someone is speaking. We're partnered with a buddy, and so the other on the reflective listening buddies calls, not on the support calls, but on the regular reflective listening buddies calls, someone is speaking and someone is reflecting, and during the time that I'm reflecting, there is that experience, the two experiences, one of being present in the moment and being right there with what's going on, and then the other, which is that wanting to get it right, and, you know, that anxiety about, you know, what if I don't remember, and, you know, all of that kind of thing that goes on as well.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, is very much a process of following breadcrumbs or not. I mean, it's back to what Sherry was just saying in that last, with that first caller, or the last caller, where if we're not here for it, exactly the process in reflective listening buddies call, if the attention is on trying to get it right, I'm not there for what's being said. So I can't follow the breadcrumbs and reflect back what's being said. My attention is not here, so I'm not able to follow that. In this case, you literally were practicing that exact same process on the support call, where you saw the breadcrumb come up, you watch the attention try to get pulled off, you come back to the actual breadcrumb, and then you unmute. And from that, you see so much more in your own practice.
Yes, yes. And this isn't the main thing I want to talk about, but briefly, yes, just to say in response to what you just said, it definitely is my experience that when I'm present, I don't have to remember what my buddy says. Life drops it in for me as I'm reflecting. That is my experience over and over again. And yet there's still that fear that what if this time it doesn't work?
Exactly. I mean, it's very much the image that dropped in when you said that, Jeff, was, so I'm going for a walk in the woods, right? And I'm trying to memorize where I'm going in the woods so I can find my way back. Never going to happen. That's going to get hopelessly lost because the attention is up in the head.
That's so good. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Another breadcrumb in the midst of that conversation, as you, one time when you were speaking on the Reflective Listening Buddy support call, and as you were talking, it occurred to me, this might be a good time for an interview. In fact, I was going to ask you if, you know, if that seemed, you know, a good idea. But before I did, you suggested it. You suggested that this would be a good time to do an interview. And after the call, I think I went and put my lunch in the oven, and then I came back and did an interview. And first of all, I've been slow to take to interviewing. As I was slow to get into recording and listening years ago, anyway, I won't go into all that, but just to say that I've done it when it's been part of workshops, and I've done it a little bit here and there, but I really have not done it a lot. And so there's that, and there's this idea that I'm not really getting it, and so on. So that's kind of the backdrop for. So I went to do this interview, and Sherry, I remember Sherry talking about drawing a little, you know, a picture, which I've done sometimes, but not always, just, you know. And so I drew a little stick figure picture, and it occurred to me, you know, it took seconds. The facial expression, which was, you know, not very, I mean, I can, I'm even moved by it now. The memory of it, just the compassion for that person, just in looking at that stick figure. So that was another breadcrumb, just the sense to draw that picture. And then it occurred to me, these little things, it occurred to me that I put it on the floor, and I wanted it to be right in front. And this wasn't coming from perfectionism. I saw it was a little to the side. I wanted it right in front of me. And then it occurred to me to put it up on a chair so that we could be more on the same height. And again, it didn't feel like perfectionism. It just felt like that, you know, being guided process. And because I was on Zabutan, you know, and on the floor, and then I put this person up in a chair, and it just felt like we were, I was looking at this little child. And then we had a conversation, and I heard the voice, which I have before, but I mean, I heard it over and over again. It was so clear that, you know, that this person was speaking to me. And immediately it was clear that this was hard for this person. And I remember in my conversation on the support call that at one point I laughed because it was like, you know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen on a Reflective Listening Buddies call? You know, it's just such a safe environment. Mm-hmm. And your response was something I don't remember exactly, but it was pointing out, but it doesn't feel that, you know, I can't remember. But anyway, the point is, yes, it is true that RLB call is such a safe environment, and yet that doesn't mean that little person inside feels safe even in that mm-hmm. safe environment.
Because otherwise there wouldn't be that constant attention on, I got to get this right.
Right. Yep. And so I was just really seeing how the experience of this person, and that it's okay to have that experience and compassion for this person. Anyway, and then, you know, kind of fast forwarding here. So 8 or 9 minutes later, I got distracted. And when I came back to presence after this really great conversation, I couldn't remember where we were in the conversation. So what occurred was to go back and listen to just the last 45 seconds and so I did that. And then what dropped in was to ask something like this. And by the way, this was like, this didn't match my idea of what the kind of question you ask in these interviews. But what dropped in to ask was, to ask this young person, what if you drop the idea that you need to get it right and that you need to be a certain way? What if it could be any way? And And I went on like that for over a minute, just asking that kind of thing. But it was with no agenda. I wasn't right. planning to ask that question. I wasn't trying to get this person to have any particular experience. This was just what was occurring.
It was truly an inquiry.
Right, right. And just following the breadcrumbs. This is what dropped in.
Yeah.
And then after a little bit, I heard this little voice say, "I'll try it." And he went on and said, I'd like to be loved. I'd like to be accepted. And more, I'm just, you know, that this is, that, this is hard. It's, you know, I'm tired of trying. And, oh my gosh, I was just, you know, I was crying and, yes.
Sorry, Jeff, was it?
No,
was
go
it
ahead, one? Please. No,
well, it just feels like what you're describing is so, it's so perfect how we talk about in practice. Practice is really a not doing more than a doing.
Mm.
Because what you're describing is those breadcrumbs are essentially staying here in the moment where all of the information is. Where we are met with utter unconditional love and compassion. And so that you just described so beautifully, just being guided. How about this? Mm-hmm. How about this? You know, draw a figure, put it up, put it on the same level. There's that incredible presence, that listening, that wholehearted attention being brought to all of it. And from that, you know, as you say, it's not that this is the first time this process has come up for you. It's not the first time that you've looked at it. But with that level of presence and that being willing to see the breadcrumbs, follow the breadcrumbs, we do get to these very, very deep places.
Yeah, that's so great. Yeah, well, that's, the last thing I'll say is that, I want to keep doing interviews. Because I could see this really isn't necessarily on the top. Well, maybe it is a following the breadcrumbs because it occurred to me. In fact, that I've already seen some of the process of the conditioning wants to cover this over, and you say, well, you know, the second interview wasn't as powerful as the first because I did another interview the same day about something else. And blah, 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 or, you know, and start to minimize. But I've listened back to that recording 3 times since then. And the first time I listened back to it, it was, you know, in between, I'd gotten talked into, you know, forgetting about how powerful it was. And in listening to that recording, it was just like, okay, no, this was power. This is power. This is powerful. And anyway, I just think it's, you know, I put it on my schedule that, you know, I'm going to be, do a couple of interviews a week because I don't want this to get covered over and forgotten and, you know, some story about, you know, well, you know, it isn't really that great or anything like that. I think it's really important for me to keep the momentum going.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's all.
Well, Jeff, thank you for being with us this afternoon to talk about it. It's really a fun exploration.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jen.
Right. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Practice works.
Practice works. Wow.
Yeah, that's what that was all about, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I see that, and I pay attention to that, and I follow up with that, and I go with that, and I do that, and suddenly I'm in a completely different place, a place that I really want to be in.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Glenn in Bellingham.
Hey, Glenn.
I want to do a sound check just because I've never done this before. Am I coming through okay?
You are. You sound
good.
Quite clear.
Oh, good. I have been the kid in the back of the classroom for probably 15 years.
You've been listening in for 15 years and
exactly
never,
right.
never let us know you were there?
Well, I mean, I did show up to retreat a few times, which have been some of the best times of my life. But when it comes to the participating on shows like this, I have done, I guess, subconsciously everything I can to avoid it. And it was interesting just at the beginning of the show, it was 2 minutes to the hour. And I knew that open air happened tonight, but I didn't know what time. And I jumped online and I saw that it was starting in 2 minutes. And I read the instructions and downloaded the app. And still, I paced the room and I just watched all these voices tell me why I should not click the participate button.
Why this is a bad idea.
Oh, right. My gosh. Yep. And, you know, you've made it 15 years. Why start now? You know, that kind of a thing.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Thanks to practice, I heard all those voices and went over and clicked the participate button. And lo and behold, here we are.
Here we are. I love it. Yeah.
I do too.
And it's really true, isn't it, that somebody said it earlier, you know, said, the retreat was preparation for having a really powerful experience, and that is how it goes. So you've been going along the way you've been going along, and now it's the time. Now it's the right time for this. And what you get to hear is all of the voices in the head. No, 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 Glenn, don't do that. Don't push that button. You don't need to do that. And you hear it all. You realize, oh, that's not me. That's not me talking. And I don't need to go along with what those voices are saying. Boom. Push the button.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's freedom.
Exactly that. It is. And I feel better already, and I haven't even touched any content yet.
right. All right. Well, so, then let's get to some juicy content.
Well,
what's going on?
First of all, it's been an incredibly moving show. And I'm so grateful to you and to Michael and to Sangha, because even though I've been in the back of the classroom, I have listened quite, I don't know if religiously is the right word, but I take these shows with me everywhere I go, and so I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. The first call couldn't have been more perfect. I felt like, and I know this happens all the time to everyone, but you know, I started the show thinking, oh, there's no way I'm going to get on tonight. And of course, the first call could have been, you know, those were all my words, or they could have been all my words. And the one I'll just hone in on was depleted. I was motivated to call tonight and ask for guidance or support or just for this conversation, just because the 15-second version is due to some medical issues. I have not had a good night's sleep in many, many months. I sleep in about 2 to 3 hour blocks at best. And for a while, I just felt like, I can handle this. I can do it. And it's just worn me down. And I've gotten to the point where I feel like I've got nothing left, and I'm not sure, quote unquote, what to do about it.
And so, Glenn, is there something medical going on? Okay.
Yeah.
And do folks have an explanation for why this is happening to you? Or
yeah, there is, and there are. You know, I've consulted with a lot of different medical type of folk, and I'm on some paths that, you know, promise to improve things, but the path that I'm on right now is quite a slow one, and it's uncertain how big a difference it'll make. And then the other paths are more like, you know, invasive surgery type of paths that I'm very hesitant about, but I'm starting to open up to. But, you know, even so, every single thing that I consider takes, you know, weeks or months to talk to anybody about, get anything on the schedule, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I
don't want to pry, but invasive surgery, what would surgery do in a situation
where
somebody can't sleep?
I mean, is this going to be easier if I just blurt out the content or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't care. I've got low grade prostate cancer, which is being monitored, but I've also got a very large prostate, and it keeps me up at night having to go to the bathroom. And so the surgeries that are available involve reducing the size of the prostate significantly, and you know, that way freeing up everything that needs to happen that's not happening right now.
Uh-huh.
And then, so, you know, yeah.
Oh, well, I was going to go ahead with more personal questions if you're...
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's get into this. So, like, you sleep for a couple of hours, and
right.
then you wake up because you have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Can you then go back to sleep?
Yes.
Okay. And then 2 hours later, you wake up again.
Right.
And you go pee.
Right.
Yeah. And you do that all night long for as long as there's night.
Yeah. And on a good night, I'm up 3 times. On a bad night, it can be, you know, it can be 5 or 6 times. So it's just it's
and
very
yet you are
fragmented.
Sleeping. You are sleeping in between.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So so now on to me. Okay. So I don't know if you know this about me, but when I went into the monastery where I trained, I come from a severely depressed family, and I'm really old, so nobody thought in those terms, right? It just wasn't a part of anything.
Yeah.
But my teacher recognized that. I mean, he was certainly suspicious about what was going on with me, and he put me on this program where I had to wake up every 2 hours throughout the night. And the reason that he did that is that he said that's about the length of a sleep cycle. So you lie down, you'll get sleepy, you'll go to sleep, you go through dream state, you go into deep sleep without dreaming, you'll come back up probably into a dream state, and then, now I've never checked this out with sleep people, so I have no idea. I'm just telling you my experience of it, okay? And then, then I was young, and I had to set an alarm. And so I would go to bed, set my alarm for 2 hours in the future, the alarm would go off, I would wake up, I would get up. I didn't have to go to the bathroom because I was young, but I would, you know, walk around. That was one of the rules until you're wide awake, go back to bed, set the alarm for 2 hours in the future. Now, I have continued that all of my life, but without alarms. Now, I just do it. And, you know, at a certain age, then you get the extra added element. For you it's prostate. For a lot of people it's just aging. That just happens, right? And so, I've done this all my life, and so I probably, well, it depends, right? I'll have 4 sleep cycles a night usually, but it's always on that same routine, and I'm never tired.
That's fascinating. I have heard you say similar things, and also I think that I've heard you say in the past too, just about I don't know if I'm getting this right, but how meditation could essentially replace some of the need for sleep.
Yes.
That maybe we
Yes.
don't need as much sleep as everybody always tells us we
Yes.
do.
Oh, yeah. And Glenn, I can promise you, we don't need sleep the way people believe we need sleep. You know, you lie down, your head hits the pillow, you wake up 8 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, yeah. it's a belief system. I don't happen to share it. In fact, what my teacher was pointing out to me that happened to me was a big part of the depression was not going through those cycles, that I would just basically stay in a light, kind of a conditioned mind, dream orientation throughout the night, and I would wake up more tired than when I went to bed. But as soon as I started going through the sleep cycles over and over and over, then, you know, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I'm not tired. In fact, I'm old, as I keep pointing out, and most people my age are taking naps, right?
Yeah.
It would never occur to me to sleep during the day. So I just offer that. And the thing that you mentioned a minute ago, there are a lot of folks in my line of work who rarely sleep in the way that most people think about sleeping, because they are able to go to that deep sleep without dreaming place while in a state of meditation. And of course, that's one of the things that I think is just critical for everybody, is to learn during the times that you're, in quotes, not able to sleep, that what you're doing is meditating. I don't actually encourage people to get up and sit on a cushion. I encourage people to learn to meditate lying in bed. And the main thing is turning off the voices. That's critical, right? For our health, for our mental health, physical health, everything else. And so learning to redirect the attention such that you are so relaxed when you're lying there that you couldn't actually tell somebody whether you're asleep or not.
That what was arising for me as you shared that is that, and I want to ask if you feel like this, I'm on the right track here, because what really brought me to the call tonight was today I was just feeling so down, you know, in the middle of the night, I don't feel like there's much of a problem, but during the day, I feel like the voices are saying so much, so subtly about what should be happening and what's not happening.
Yeah.
And that I'm listening to that, whether I know it or not. Yep. And I think you've helped me know it, that I am listening to it.
Yeah. So the way my teacher talked about it, people die of liking and disliking, right? Mm. And that's basically what he was pointing at, that being in conditioned mind with that, it's this way, it should be that way. You're feeling that way, you should be feeling that way. Why is that happening with you when you, right? It's that conversation that kills people. Yeah. So yes, whatever support we can offer to end that relationship with the voices, at least it's such that you recognize very clearly, that you recognize very clearly that your job in this incarnation is to take care of that fellow, right? So if you imagine, if we have time for this, Michael, if you imagine there are three people in this relationship. Now, we're trained to think that there's one, there's me, right? There's just me. But that's not true. And so the three characters are, there's you, there's this guy who is has a difficulty in his life and is the recipient of a boatload of negativity about it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So I call him the tortured. And then there is the torturer, right? There's the voice that is just always on him, always on him, always on him, day and night, right? And so your job is to have such a constant, deep relationship with that fellow who's being tortured that he only ever looks to you for comfort, for reassurance, for encouragement, for knowing what to do, to know that he's all right, right? And that that torturing voice is completely excluded from the relationship.
That sounds like a tall order, and it makes complete sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've been constantly looking for the answer, for the fix, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
and that conversation is completely with that third party, those voices.
Yeah, the torturer.
Yeah.
Yes, and that torturer is there to torture. Yeah, and so if you can get a good picture, kind of the good news update was about that. If you can get a good picture of this guy, who is listening to that negativity all the time. You will be strongly moved to save him,
mm-hmm.
and you are the only one who can do that. And the conversation that you have with him, the conversation of reassurance and encouragement and support and care, compassion, loving kindness, is what will save him. And you.
Thank you, Sherry.
You are so welcome. Don't be a stranger, okay?
You always ask folks to report back. I'm going to commit to that right here, right now.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Glenn. Wow. Wow. I need Kleenex over here, Sherry.
I know. This is, yeah. I mean, Sangha. Hey. Sangha is just, what would we do without practice and Sangha? How often do I say that? I really don't know the answer. It's always a sincere question. I have no idea. I'm so glad we have both. I am so grateful to have both.
Mm.
Thank you, Michael. Well,
thank you, Sherry. You go happy, and thanks to everyone tonight. It's fabulous.
Thanks to everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.